Hello, America. Thanks for joining us. Really glad to be with you. This is a preliminary session of the Common Sense Show. We'll get into it real deeply here with our guest, Bob Griswold, who's got a great background to debate an issue with me. Will the white hat military in the United States rise up and execute a coup against the Bolshevik communists who have commandeered our nation? We have gone through a coup d'etat. And will there be a counter coup by the white hat military? Bob and I are going to debate this, I'm sure, with some vigor. Although, you have to keep in mind, Bob and I have been friends for years. And we have some ventures we do together, and I highly respect him. But I think you're going to find this debate to be informative. And I think we're going to put a lot of issues on the table there for our audience to look at and really make some good decisions. We're brought to you by Noble Gold. And ladies and gentlemen, there's never been a time more pertinent in history right now that you need gold to protect what you have. Gold is a way of storing your value for what you've already earned. If you leave it in the bank, the Dodd-Frank Law of 2010 says the bank can take your money. And rest assured, they will take your money when they begin to falter to cushion their fall from grace. So what are you going to do? Well, you can leave your retirement in the bank. You can leave your money in the savings account. Or you can get a hold of Noble Gold and say, what can you do to help me? And then evaluate what they're offering. And there are no pressure, absolutely not going to push you to do anything whatsoever. And when you call their call center, you don't get, hi, I'll be helping you very much. No, you don't get that. You get an expert in the field who will patiently answer all your questions. But be prepared, you'll have to close your own deal. So anyway, here's how you get information. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com, and I'll rush you out a free information, no obligation electronic packet. Or you can call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347, and tell them that Dave Hodges told you to call. Bob Griswold and the debate up next. Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thanks for staying with us right here as we move into our guest segment with my good friend, Bob Griswold, who has the background and expertise, certainly has life experiences beyond what I've done. And I'm going to try to take my feeble mind and background and try to debate Bob here on whether or not the U.S. military, so-called white hats, are going to come to the rescue of the American people. Bob, let's set the crisis tone for this, though.
Okay.
Can we both agree that we're being ruled by Bolshevik communists? Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, and I put Luciferian Bolshevik communists in front of it, but yes.
Thank you. Yeah, okay, thank you. You strengthened my argument. No, yes. Okay, all right. And then secondly—
and Dave, that sounds funny, but I really do mean that with every fiber of my being. There are Luciferian people. These are the people who get on their knees, like I bow my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the people that get on their knee and worship the Dark One. They drink the blood, they eat the flesh, they do other stuff I'm not going to mention on this program, the initiation rites that are, that, you know, pretty bad. I was watching a video a few years ago from Marina Abramovich, and, she was showing how she does her spirit cooking, and it said human breast milk plus human sperm and a few other things I'm not going to mention, and then you drink it. You know, the products of bodily function products, put it that way.
I hear you. I know. Listen,
and,
I hear
and
you.
Dave, it gets better to sound like it's a commercial. She's just been put in charge of Ukrainian schools. How nice.
Yeah. Can we say grooming?
On a national scale.
Exactly. The model for coming here. All right. So the point is Bolshevik communists that are satanic and no question. And that when the Bolsheviks cannot manipulate things to get it the way they want entirely, then they resort to extreme force, i.e. camps, extermination, and so forth. And do you not agree this is could be an expected outcome of where we're going?
Well, the camps already exist. The J6 is a camp. They didn't like what those people did. Now, I do not agree with trespassing. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a misdemeanor crime, generally punishable by a fine. Sometimes let off, as you know, we saw a lot of people let off from insurrection in Portland and Washington, Seattle. We saw a lot of those people just let go. When Donald Trump was inaugurated, we saw people burning stuff down in Washington, D.C. I don't think they started anything on fire on January 6th, but the people on Trump's inauguration were definitely setting buildings on fire. No Trump there. Hey, I got a question for you. Does this his name slips me right now, the gentleman who pulled the fire alarm.
Oh, yeah, the congressman, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's insurrection, isn't it? Because he was doing it to interrupt a House vote.
It's a felony, for one thing. It's a public endangerment, yeah.
So he is guilty of crimes worse than 9/11, Pearl Harbor, and at least a 20-year sentence, if you want to go by the rules that you're giving to other people.
I cannot argue with what you're
saying.
But
the camps exist. There's a camp right there in Washington, D.C.
You need to stop agreeing with me because you're supposed to be having a debate here. okay. So we're headed down the extermination path. Clearly, they're going to deal with enemies of the state. In fact, Klaus Schwab said it best. He met with French President Macron and came out of the meeting, and he was quoted as saying, and I made a big deal about this, a German national wanting to put people in camps, but he said, we need to send dissidents to social credit camps. That's a quote. That's a quote, Bob. So I think it's an expectation we should have here. Okay, now we've kind of laid the battlefield. America's a nation ready to be pounced upon by the people who think they're in charge. So there's a prevailing feeling out there, people I've talked to, that have left me with the impression, I won't put a percentage chance on this, but there is a decent opportunity, in my opinion, that segments of the military will rise up, not at the command level in the Pentagon, of course, or the DOD, but base commanders, division commanders, and so forth, submarine fleet, space force, that they will resist the direction when it becomes unfathomable. And if they think they have the support of the majority of the people, they will move against the administration. It's often called the white hat military. And yes. I know that you're not in agreement with that. So let me throw it over to you and get your reaction to that.
Okay. Well, first of all, I would have to bring back biblical reference because I did ponder on this last night some. The heart of man is desperately wicked. It's not a good heart in man. Sin has corrupted us to the core. And so we see that manifested throughout 6,000 years of human history. We rape, brutalize, murder, conquer, you know, steal. That is the history of humanity, with some in between good things that might have happened. But overall, I mean, you know, people say, you know, European colonialism. Well, Islamic colonialism existed long before European colonialism existed. So, and I'm not saying the Islamists are any worse or better than the Europeans. But what I'm saying is man's heart is desperately wicked. So first of all, how do I know that the person or the people that want to lead this white hat charge are really genuine and who they say they are? Let me bring this point out. Mm-hmm. Okay, Rome. Who put this? Who changed the government from a republic, a constitutional republic for that day, where the Senate decided policy, to where the Caesars decided policy, the Praetorian Guard? It was the military that installed a dictator. So here's the question I have: same thing in Stalin, same thing with Hitler, same thing with everybody else. And we saw tons of them during the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s in South America installing a right-wing person in charge that was going to supposedly take over the country and get rid of the communist. And every one of those ended up in horrible, horrible catastrophe for the average person. Okay. So I just going last night and looking, what dictatorship or military coup has there been where it has turned out good for people? And I mean, maybe the American Revolution. That's the only thing I could come up with. And that was really not because they were forming another government. But I could not find a military coup where it turned out good for the people. Maybe initially, but eventually the desperate, wicked heart of man took over. And then I go back to Romans 1. Is it even biblically reversible? And if I read Romans 1 and we're in the third stage of divine abandonment, that is an irretrievable condition that God has placed on a nation.
Can you explain what that is to the person who might not be
Romans
familiar
1
with it?
It's a three-stage level of divine abandonment. You'll read it three times, and God gave them over, and God gave them over, and God gave them over. Each time God gives them over, it's to deeper and deeper depravity. And the final third stage is to basically an insane mind. The nation has been given over to an insane mind. And at that point, you can't recover from it, because it's no longer just men doing stupid stuff because they have stupid thoughts. This is God has separated himself from that nation and has turned it over to wickedness. Now, I hear all the time, well, there's a lot of good people left in the United States. Well, where are they? There are some, but the majority, vast, vast majority of churches that supposedly have Christian people that supposedly hold a biblical theology are silent. Parents still put their kids in public schools, which are teaching their kids Marxism. So I seriously doubt, from a historical and a biblical point of view, that you're really going to end up with a white hat coup. I think shortly after the white hat coup, the hat's going to change, just like it has in all those tin horn dictators we installed in South America. You know, Hitler was a man of the people, restored the economy. I mean, we're going to give Germany back its national prestige. I mean, not to insult anybody, but we're going to make Germany great again. That was his mantra. Not in those words, but that
I get
was
it. Yeah,
mantra.
You're right. I agree. Now, what you've done here, I'm going to interject this, Bob, because I think it's important, because we're jumping to the end of the story. And I agree, there's an inherent danger in having the military execute a coup, because you might just trade one despot leader for another. I totally agree with what you're saying. And I agree there is overwhelming historical precedent for your position. I think there's no question. But can we back up the time frame and talk about, will it at least be initiated to change the existing ruling party with military action? Let's start there and then end up on that last square.
Okay. Again, it's all about money. And Rothschild said, I don't care who writes the nation's laws. And by laws, you could say, because Congress goes to war, Congress is the one who authorizes war. All the things that the military would be authorized to do, take money. I will add in mine and your money, your my money. And when the powers that be control all the levers of power, not to be redundant, but they do control all the levers of power. The mechanism for making that happen, I think, will fail as quick as Stauffenberg's attempt on.
Tell people what Stauffenberg was, in case don't know.
There were a certain group of military people, in the Third Reich, that had tired of Hitler. They knew he was driving the nation into complete ruin, and his demonic madness. He wouldn't even look at the facts. He had made up armies in his mind, planes that didn't exist. It was all there. And so they looked at him and they realized, oh gosh, I just thought of something. Hitler was out of his mind. Can you think of anybody today that's out of their mind in our government?
Oh, I knew you were going to go there, Bob. Okay. I agree with what you're saying here too. I do. But I want to make a distinction here. There's a difference in a coup between a protracted conflict to get there and a singular action that's an overnight come in the thief type of activity, which has happened in history before. And I agree with you. that BlackRock would never let this happen since they control 70% of the GDP.
Yeah, Vanguard, but, BlackRock.
Yeah, well, it's actually, but when you include the big three, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, they control 90% of the U.S. GDP. But yes. And I agree with you, that would prevent a protracted conflict. But a military action would be swift. We converge on the White House. We take people out. We do a military tribunal. And they stand up and say, we dare you to anybody else who wants to oppose us. I don't think your explanation that because they don't have the money doesn't mean they can't do a singular swift action. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, but okay, still, people, no matter how bad they are, are due the rule of law. And you just can't go through and start murdering all the people that you disagree with. And that's generally what happens, is they just go round everybody up that they didn't like. Hitler rounded up the SA, you know, Stalin rounded up numerous generals that he'd been told were unfaithful. And that's why it took Russia so long to, you know, meet the Nazis and defeat them, because he had taken out most of his senior staff in the military. But so, What I'm saying is I think it's wishful thinking, but I don't think it's reality. They would send UN troops in immediately to quash it. I mean, the news media would be croaking it out 24/7. A group of, you know, ultra right wing racist bigots of trying to take over the military, just like they did these January 6 people. And we all saw that the Buffalo Man, you know, He just walked around the building. He wasn't violent in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Just walked around the building. And so they had completely lied about it. And yet the narrative's done. He spent time in prison. So a lot of other people are spending time in prison. And some of these guys will probably spend 20 years of their life in prison unless Donald Trump gets elected and pardons them.
Tario. So, yeah, I agree with you.
I think it just has a very, very bad the military taking over has very, very bad connotations historically.
Okay, but yeah, I agree with that. But let's stay with, okay, I'll reflect on the movie to give people a visual image and people our age that saw this. 7 Days in May, starring Kirk Douglas. Good movie, really entertaining movie. But it was the attempt at a military coup that was swift and would have been complete with some key leaders in the military because they thought the president was weak and impotent. I'm talking about a swift action that's an overnight action. In fact, Stauffenberg's attempt to take over the German government was based on the same kind of philosophy, Bob. It wasn't protracted. It was to be quick and decisive.
And it did fail.
It did fail, yes.
Yeah. So I would point that out. Dave, my concern goes back to biblical theology, is the heart of man is desperately wicked. See, the only way this country will ever change, because Washington said it in his farewell address, that religion and morality were the foundations of this nation. Without those two things, it cannot exist. That's what he said. And today we are a godless, immoral people. Godless, immoral people run the military. Now, I'm not saying that there's no Christians there, but the levers of power are all godless people, and I it's too well entrenched, and even for a temporary coup or a short coup where they do that, you would have half of America in the streets burning things down, because half of America would side with the very people that we would take out.
It wouldn't be half. The elections are stolen, but I would agree with you, it could be as high as 30%.
Yeah, well, 30%, and violence is contagious once it starts. You know, everybody wants to start throwing bricks. Once one person throws a brick, everybody wants to throw a brick.
A holiday from Law and Order would attract a lot of people. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. So, because violence is, people don't understand, violence is an extremely addictive behavior. That's why you have serial killers, serial rapists, and all these. It's not so much the act of murder. It's not so much the act of sex. It's the act of committing horrific acts of violence, and that's what they get into, and we're a nation today that has fallen in love with violence. We've spread it around the world. We've taken violence around the world in so many small conflicts, you know, and left tens and tens of thousands. I think Libya was 40,000, non-combatants dead. In Iraq, it was maybe a million based on a lie. WMDs exist. People are and making a good argument that 9/11 had some little bit of help from inside the camp. You know, they had a little bit of help doing that.
Yeah, Cheney was in the bushes, just so to speak.
Yeah.
I agree with what you're saying here. And I also agree with something else you said. Here I'm jumping off my own side for a moment, but I do agree with you bringing up Washington's farewell address about religion and morality being a cornerstone necessary to the successful maintenance of this country. Because if we were a moral nation, still loyal to Jesus, if we were that way, having the leaders that we have right now would make no sense, and we wouldn't tolerate it for 2 seconds. Because we are this way, you could have a successful military coup, but we would accept the same kind of depraved leadership. I agree with you.
Exactly. So another historical example of a coup, and this one took longer, granted, took longer to implement, but and I've used it before. There was a coup in Rome. And one of the sides of the coup was the side of Barabbas. Now Barabbas was an evil, violent man, and he wanted to chop every Roman head off he found. You know, he just wanted to go out and kill. He had a bloodlust. The Romans know very, very well how to deal with that kind of guy. In fact, I think the Romans kind of liked it because it gave them entertainment. You know, I mean, even when they were killing Jesus, they were entertaining themselves by wagering on his clothes. So we have that. And then we have the gospel of Jesus Christ that transforms men's hearts from the savage beast to the image of God. That's the coup that eventually conquered Rome. And my point is there's only one way this nation could be saved. And I would say that with a caveat of Romans 1, the last verse, that I think we've been given over to divine insanity. I don't think it's going to happen. Everybody wants to think it's going to. I'd love to think it's going to happen. I mean, I'm 67. I don't want to get in the middle of some, you know, violent upheaval in the United States. I don't want that. I want to live my remaining days in peace.
I hear you. I'm the same way. I'm too fat to run and too old to fight. I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
So with that said, I think America has been given over. And let me just deviate just a bit. If I'm right, and history will tell, time will tell, who's right in this. The real question is, what do we do? Because these two ideas are like a watershed. One goes one way, one goes the other way. In fact, Francis Schaeffer's book, Whatever Happened to the great evangelical disaster. I forgot the name of it, but he mentions there's this mountain peak in Switzerland where as the snow melts in the summer, there's two places the water runs down. It starts very, very close together at the mountain peak. So it's there. And then as it melts, one side leads down to the balmy waters of the Mediterranean and one side leads down to the North Atlantic cold, you know, water. And so two ideas might sound close, but the final outcome of those ideas goes completely different places. You know, if we saw a true, genuine revival in this nation, which again, I don't think is going to happen, that would solve every problem. We wouldn't need a military coup. We wouldn't need any of that because men's hearts would be changed and converted. I remember, Dave, and I'm going to say this, growing up, my grandfather on my father's side was a Deep South person. So he had a particular view of a certain racial group. Okay. And he pumped that into my head all the time whenever we were there. Okay. And so I did have a certain amount of prejudice before I was a Christian concerning that people group. It was indoctrinated. And my dad wasn't like that at all, but my grandfather was. When I came to Jesus, when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and I read in the Bible, there was neither Greek nor Jew, male nor female, all those things, you know, I realized that we are all sons of Adam. And as a son of Adam, you know, I better love that man, not, you know, I might not like what he does, but as a son of Adam, I better have concern for him because he's creating the image of God. And that completely revolutionized my thinking. The law, the military, none of those things can do that in a man's heart. The law, you know, can say, don't do this, don't do that. But in every way we've proven it, the law does not keep the lawbreaker from breaking the law. Gun control. You can, if you're a felon, you can't own a gun. Yeah, that's been successful. You can't use fentanyl. That's been successful. You're not supposed to murder. That's been successful. I mean, and everywhere you've tried to put an arbitrary law in place without a transformation of the heart through Jesus Christ, it's been an utter and complete failure. And this is what I think would happen with the military. The same thing happened on January 6th. I mean, there was an utter and complete failure. Now, there's a lot of reasons why we could talk about forever. I mean, whose coup was it? Was it the FBI's coup?
It was the FBI coup. But the bottom line is people bought into it through groupthink. But look, you know, it was designed to entrap people into doing minor violations of the law that resulted in characterizing the president as being lawless. That's now being used against him in a future election. It also tried to establish the legitimacy of a stolen election. So I could go on and on about what they gained from it and why they did what they did. But we know that they've been identified in the crowd through photos, at least 7 FBI operatives. No one's ever come up with who planted the pipe bomb where Kamala Harris would have been walking by the DNC headquarters. But that aside, I grant you victory in the first round here, Bob. Might even be a knockdown, 10-8, okay? So 10-8 on the scorecard. But now I'm going to go into what I've been told. And what I've been told is by people who are credible, experienced, and some currently work, and some are retired, but know those who do work. And I'll start with someone who's very close to me, and I'm not going to say any more than that for obvious reasons, but I'm riding in their car with them earlier this year, and they said, yeah, in my experience in the military, I had to go around to various bases, and I interacted with base upper echelon base commanders and stuff. And the general feeling is we go to war with China, we go to war with anybody, these people are not going to obey Biden. They know they've been set up to be destroyed. They don't trust Milley, and they're going to go their own way. Okay. And then he goes, oh, crap, I forgot who I was talking about. I said, don't worry, never identify you or your, excuse me, or your position. Okay. So, okay. Excuse me. Allergy season here. And hang on 1 second, Bob. Okay. So that's one. And then I've had occasion through third party ex high ranking military to talk to, shall we say, Pentagon types. Okay. And I'd say probably mid-level Pentagon types. And I'm hearing the same thing. And I'm hearing that they're even afraid that people will turn on each other inside the Pentagon and begin shooting each other. And I've actually been told that not once, but twice. And then I've encountered 2 base commanders, 1 former base commander, I should say, and 1 present, that have basically echoed the same thing. No trust in this at all. And then a high-ranking ex-military guy, I asked him after the coup of opportunity at Benghazi failed, why not initiate another one? He goes, it takes the opportunity or about 75% of the support of the people before anyone would have the guts to react. Okay, so there's somewhat of a consensus, and I can't say it's 30%, 50%, 80%. I can't say a percentage, but I'm saying there's a sentiment it with people who have command authority over some significant troops and add in the Space Force, which Biden can't penetrate. He can change the leaders all he wants, but he's not changing the culture. And I believe the same thing is probably true for the submarine fleet. I think there is the framework for some kind of action under the right conditions. So, Bob, I'll throw it back to you to respond.
Okay, here's my response. I know a little bit about the world of espionage and, you know, how they do things. Okay, so we have a completely woke military. You know, all the upper...
No, I don't agree with that. No. We are not completely woke. There are many people in the military that abhor some of the crap that they're doing.
Well, okay, let's just say the senior staff military.
Only in the Pentagon. Okay. Only in the Pentagon, Bob. I'm telling you right now, one thing I'll tell you for sure is that the rank and file colonel, brigadier general, captain, master sergeant, they are not buying this bullshit. Excuse my French, but they're not buying it. They're not on board with it, Bob. I guarantee I know this.
Okay. Well, my point is that in that world, and let's just say it does happen, because it does happen, they know who the conservative leaders, they know who the people that have charisma, they know the people who can lead other people. Feeding those people disinformation would be prime number one thing to do. And so, you know, they think they're being let in on the loop, the circle, and at the same time, because of their background, they're being fed disinformation. Happens, Dave, all the time, 24/7.
Are you saying that they would draw out the potential Benedict Arnolds to the current regime?
Or the ultra-conservative people. Yeah, okay, yeah, and they'd feed them disinformation so that they would spread that along down the chain of command all the way to people like you and me, and it would be complete disinformation.
Okay, I have one counter to that, though. When Obama went after nearly 400 command officers during his tenure, the ones who survived learned how to keep their mouth shut, conceal their actions, do their job, but they didn't change their heart.
Yeah, and if you watch the movie Stauffenberg, I think half the people involved in that coup did this, you know, see which way the wind was blowing, and as soon as they realized that the coup was failing, man, they became loyal Hitlers. You know, I'm fully in the Führer's camp. I would kill those people. And so that's what happened in Germany. And, you know, in the Soviet Union, there was only about 350 hardcore Bolsheviks that took over the Soviet Union. The vast, vast majority of people weren't involved in it. But once I've given the levers of power to those 350 people throughout, whether it's agriculture, whatever, once I've given the levers of power to them, history, 6,000 years of it, shows that the vast, vast majority of people are going to comply, just like they did during, you know, a particular health event we recently had. A lot of people didn't want to take it, but they took it just to get along. Hold their nose and you know, do it. And I've heard the phrase, hold my nose and vote. This, because it goes back, Dave, this is my framework. It goes back to the heart of man. It's desperately wicked. You know, when I hear somebody say he has a good heart, I'm thinking, where do you get that from? It's not in the Bible. The Bible says just the opposite. Man has a wicked heart. And I think I can make a pretty good historical example of that, of how we done what we've done. Throughout these centuries, we brutalized our brothers and sisters for many different reasons, whether it's race, money, you name it, we brutalized them. And so I hear what you're saying, but I see every indicator that I've ever read of coups that have worked, of the nature of man, of the condition, the infiltration right now into the military. And plus, it's not even addressing the tens of thousands of Chinese and Russians that are in this country that would commit acts of saboteurs. It just, if a coup like that happened, all those acts of sabotage would start to happen. And of course, they'd be blamed on the coup. You know, oh, the coup did it. The coup did it. You know, Russia disinformation. So when a bridge is blown up or an electrical power plant's blown up or whatever goes out, you know, food, a tractor trailer of food stolen, that's why you're going to go hungry. The coup did it. And that would be the narrative till now, to the end of time. And even though we know 100% right now that Russia collusion was Democrat collusion, it still is being propagandized as Russia collusion. I look at Maui. It's another example of human behavior or the power of the powers that be. 2,000 children still missing. We found the school buses on a military base. And It's completely out of the news cycle.
Yeah, well, that's because we caught them in their lies. That's why the media has a new strategy now, Bob. I've noticed this on a number of stories. When they're caught lying, they don't argue anymore and scream disinformation. They retreat and hope that a blackout will end the debate.
Well, the blackout has ended the debate.
Well, not on my end, it hasn't, but I do agree with you. Largely, you're correct. I want to bring something else up, though, okay? And it was the American Civil War. And it's my contention, and I used to teach this, that if the Confederates had followed up and gone to D.C. after the Second Battle of Bull Run,
yes,
D.C. would have been captured. And there would be an entirely different America today. Be two Americas in all likelihood. Yes. Okay. At least at that time, there'd have been two Americas. Robert E. Lee's failure to follow up on several victories early in the war. And here you have Confederate soldiers who went to West Point with many of the people, generals they were fighting against. They were comrades. They were friends, but they stayed loyal to their state. There is an instance there where insurrection should have worked had it not been for military incompetence.
You know, slavery is abhorrent. Jefferson said it best, even though Jefferson owned slaves. He said it is the worst despotism among men, and it is. Nothing worse than saying, I own Dave Hodges, and I can tell Dave Hodges to do whatever I want him to do, and he has to obey me, and if he doesn't, I can put a whip on his back. That is the ultimate in despotism. It not only destroys the slave, but it destroys the slave owner because he quickly swirls down into depravity and he gets into it and he abuses the slaves. We saw John Newton, the great, eventually became a great evangelist, but his heart went down into depravity real quick because he was comforted on his journeys from Africa by the female slaves. He'd rape them. You know, it didn't take long for that kind of despotism to take over because, again, the heart of man is desperately wicked. And so I can't see it happening. The only thing
Bob, let's go back to my point, though. Was not the Civil War, could it not have been a Southern victory immediately? And there you have an insurrection. See, forget slavery. Take slavery out of the debate. The South was correct in everything else they were saying. The North was bullying the South economically. States' rights were being violated. The 10th Amendment was thrown out the window by a reprobate Congress. And they were taking advantage of Southern labor. And like I said, now enter slavery, you've got a tainted argument. I agree. But nonetheless, the South was totally taken advantage of. And there would have been a civil war with or without slavery, I think. Because of those issues.
They knew that when they signed.
Do you not agree there is an example of what the South would have considered white hat military rising up to defend their rights? And they could have very easily won the war. Don't you agree?
They didn't. That's all I can say. I don't want to conjecture on that. And I do agree with you. I mean, again, with that caveat that slavery is the worst human institution ever devised by men. The South had a lot of political views, and this is why it's always about slavery. They don't want you to look at the political views
exactly. Of
states' rights, that the state was sovereign to itself and that we were a voluntary union. General Sherman, I don't know if you read about him. I mean, he got kicked out of the army for theft. He was not a good guy at all. Yes, but it didn't happen. It failed. And the United States went on to become a conglomerate. I mean, you look after 1865, how quickly the income tax was implemented, the made Federal Reserve Bank was implemented.
That's 48 years, so it's quite a distance.
Well, I mean, all those things were in the play of happening even during the Civil War. And once the federal government got to the point that they had pacified the South, which it did take time to pacify them, they quickly started with their globalist agenda. And that's part of the globalist agenda, a federal bank, you know.
I would argue that started in 1898, Spanish-American War. That was the globalist agenda. I agree. I agree with you on that point. But let's back up to before we leave this point. Okay. I think it's a strong contention that the South should have won that war if they'd have followed up after the battle, Second Battle of Bull Run, thus making my point that generals rose up and they were at least a credible threat to drag the war out for 4 years. And they were enough of a threat to pose a real threat to the Union and the safety of the Union, at least in the first year of the war. So my point, Bob, is this, is if they could do it then, why can't it happen now?
Yeah, well, and if we had, let's just hypothetically conjecture that the South had won, I think despotism would have taken over rather quickly. Because
okay. I don't disagree, but you're not answering my question, though. Okay. Well, if the generals rose up the way they did, okay, and could have won this war, but certainly launched a major threat against the establishment, why can't that happen again today?
Because I don't think the people of the United States want it, first of all. I think, you know, I don't want to get, you know, like where I can't see the trees for the forest. We see the vast, vast majority of Americans today are content with just some cake and, you know.
I agree. That's because they have enough normality left in their lives.
Right.
What about is that stripped away over the next several months with a failing economy? Won't things change?
Yeah, they're going to change. And again, in desperation, you're going to hear phrases like, I know we've had an economic collapse. We're going to restore it. It's going to be slightly different than the system you had. We're going to issue digital bucks and take it down that path. And I would say the vast, vast majority of Americans under the promise you get to keep your home, get to keep your doctor. Remember that one? You know, you get to keep your home, get to keep your doctor. You get to life will be normal again. And, you know, as soon as that's implemented and entrenched, you know, then the real tyranny begins. And I look at Solomon. I look at David. I look at the great men of the Bible. Power corrupted them very quickly. It didn't take long for Solomon to start saying, you know, I've got a beautiful wife. That one over there is beautiful too. And so is that one and that one and that one and that one and that one. And, you know, his heart became very, very corrupt very quickly. And so if the South had won, my contention is biblical truth would still be biblical truth. And you would have people rise up within the South that would have been despotical because, you know, a righteous man, I'm not going to take those kind of measures.
I agree.
I'm going to go brutalize people. A wicked man seeing opportunity in the South would have gone in and he has no problem with, you know, killing, raping, murdering. He has no problem with it. So he does that to ascend to power. And, you know, he gets everything he wants in the end because he's the head dictator. And I think it could have easily developed into that as well as anything else any good.
I agree with what you're saying. Evil replaces evil if the society is evil. I agree with you. Okay, so I concede that. But my point is generals rose up at another point in time in our history and said no more. And they launched a successful resistance, successful, in fact, that they mobilized an entire region of the nation. And right. And they could have been victorious. And I want to stress in the first year, they could have been victorious. So given that, I don't know why this could not happen today, given the fact that anyone who's in military service that takes their oath seriously is loyal to the core, so to speak, why they wouldn't take their oath seriously and say, we're going to reach a point of no return, and I'm not going to do what that man in Washington says.
Hey, Dave, there's several thoughts on it. I'm going to be very generic here. I just had a friend whose son went into the military, and he went through boot camp flying colors, got in there, and as a Christian young man, he said, the whole thing is depraved. I mean, everybody, you know, that he's around, it's just a depraved system. I have a son that told me the same thing who fought in Fallujah. I have other family members who've done the same thing and said the same thing. We want to think, just like we used to think of the FBI, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. FBI. I mean, I thought that, didn't you?
Yeah, the old TV show. Yeah, just yeah, so yeah, people yeah, know yeah. what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And we want to still think there's that shining hill there. The same thing with the military. We want to think there's that shining hill there. My contention is because we, as a nation, we have forsaken God. We've forsaken the tenets of Christianity. We've forsaken the laws of God. I still think we want to see, as Reagan put it, that shining city on a hill that largely doesn't exist.
No, it does not exist. I agree. Yeah. The shining city on the hill resides in our heart. You're either for Jesus or you're against him.
I totally agree with that.
That's where that goes. And that's there is no in-between choice here. And this is what people don't seem to grasp. They think they can sit things out and it'll pass over. It won't. Everyone's a frontline participant in this depravity. One of the things, I mean, let me tell you, I did some research on this. The success of Civil War efforts. And prior to World War II, a revolution was successful, estimated 20 to 25% of the time. After World War II, that number actually rose to almost 40%. But I suspect the reason after World War II that you saw more of those revolutions succeed is we had our CIA or other covert organizations helping with that civil war.
And they weren't good. They weren't good people who took over.
The way you said, you're right. Listen, you're not getting the argument from me. Evil replaces evil. But the fact is there is precedent that civil war can succeed. The thing is this civil war, if we had it here, if it was protracted, it'll get no support. It'll get no support. And I'll tell you what Obama's done, too. And I want to get your reaction to this. Obama's killed the oil reserves. He just killed the six Alaskan pipeline deals. We only really get oil from Saudi Arabia. They're screwing us. They're joining the BRICS, and soon they won't be able to take the dollar by policy. He's made it impossible for the military to wage any kind of fight, much less have a civil war against the existing government. Do you agree with that?
Exactly. And we see it in the fact of the last two elections, that no matter who runs, the pre-selected candidate is going to win. That's going to win, and there's no two ways about it. It's a Stalinist election. You know, when 99.9% of the people voted for Stalin, and there was a couple scragglers out there that, you know, voted for whoever.
As you said, I don't care who people vote for. Yeah. I only care who counts the votes. And boy, was that true in Maricopa County. But the thing is if you can't control everything about counting the votes, then you have to destroy the voting machines, which is what happened in Maricopa County in Republican areas. Yeah, I know. You're right. I think this has been productive. Bob, what we've accomplished here is we've let people see different sides of the debate, different sides of history. We've interjected to the overlaying theme, which is the doctrine and teachings of Jesus Christ. And I think that people really have a good base to which to say, I agree with Dave on this. I agree with Bob on these things. I think this has been productive, but I want to do you justice because you have a great background in helping people get prepared. And you've got an event coming up that I want you to talk about. And we got about 4 minutes to squeeze this in. You got an event. And also, I want you to tell people about ready-made resources that I've done business with, and I love it.
Okay. Well, real quick, the two ideas are that watershed. It take you in two different directions. If the United States is doomed to fall into anarchy and conquest, you better make a certain set of plans because it's going to affect you and you don't want to end up in a labor camp, death camp, whatever you want to call it, camp. And you better make plans now. And that means storing food, storing water, you know, having the needs, means to protect yourself, all those things. You better have it. Now, if on the other hand, you think there might be a resurgence of the city on the hill, then maybe not as much. So those two trains of thought have drastic consequences in the outcome. So with that said, we have an active shooter course coming up this Friday. There's still time to sign up for it with Doug Thornton. And we have a guy by the name of Justin. So we're going to have a really great time. We've actually built walls to make a real shoot house. And so Doug is going to really be in his element to teach. We have Steve Rise coming, 18 Delta Medic, and you're going to get stuff that nobody else gives you. I mean, you're going to get stuff thrown at you that nobody else gives you. So you still have time to sign up. If you go to readymaderesources.com, across the top of the page, it says, you know, train with us. Click that. It'll take it right with you. I do want to mention, again, supplies. We have some spectacular deals on night vision right now that we have acquired because one of our distributors needed to unload some inventory, and we bought it at a bargain basement rate. We have a binocular white phosphor Elbit night vision, articulating bridge. That means you can turn the bridges up and down. They're normally about $7,600. These are $5,450. It's just a fantastic deal. If you go to our website, it's the first night vision on the night vision page. It's a binocular.
Yeah, readymaderesources.com, right?
Yeah, readymaderesources.com. Or call me at 800-627-3809. My son, Joshua, or myself will walk you through it and help you any way we can. For those of you who don't have that kind of money, we do offer financing, which is about $200 and some odd a month to pay for. So, and you can have a night vision device that's going to be second to none. These are premium quality night vision devices because we don't like selling junk. So, and then, you know, we have communication, anything. So if you have a retreat or planning on a retreat or whatever, and you want someone to help you not spend wasteful money on things, and I've done that, bought things I will never use because I just didn't need them. I can help you through that process of purchasing so that when you get equipment, it's going to be good equipment and you don't spend money on equipment that really it doesn't need to be spent.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. And you got a lot of great stuff there, that's for sure. And I also did some research on escaping Nazi death camps. And once you go to the camp, you don't get out. And this was in a low tech area. I mean, we're talking people in the dozens escaped all those death camps, not hundreds, dozens.
Yeah, and it's the Roach Motel. They go in, but they don't come out.
Yeah, that's right. And we don't even have any good figures about what the percentage was that died. We have estimates. I mean, I've heard 70-80% died in the death camps. And the survival rate was incredible. Withdrawal of resources, like they'd systematically starve the workers to death, for example, over time. Yes.
Well, they had an never-ending supply of new ones. So it didn't matter.
Bob, the one thing that I came away from my research on this was I'll die in my driveway before I'm forced onto a bus to go to a death camp.
Precisely. Yeah. Because, you know, your children, we know what's going to happen to any children, grandchildren.
Yeah.
They're going to be sent off to pedophilia high, be brutalized. Who knows what's going to happen to your wife? It's bad all around. And so, and these people have demonstrated that they have no morals whatsoever, that Satan, the conscience of a man, Satan has taken his branding iron and burnt it so it does not work anymore. They have no conscience. Nothing is outside the realm of what they will do to you or to me in order to achieve their pleasure, their power, their money. Nothing. I mean, no horrific torture is bad enough.
I used to have a guy come and speak to my history class when I was a young history teacher, and he was an OSS guy that if they wanted to extract a prisoner from a death camp, he would manage to get himself in. He'd hide in the manure wagons, for example, on a secondary SEAL, and come in and get them. And his stories were just phenomenal. But one of the things he witnessed once was that the women who were attractive were taken as sex objects by many of the German commanders. But when they became pregnant, they took them out to the country and he watched them butchered with swords. I kid you not. He was very graphic in his description. You should have seen my students. They were like, oh, I can't believe I'm hearing this. It was so bad.
The Japanese called them comfort women. And they brought thousands along, followed the army so the army could relieve themselves by raping Chinese women.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so readymaderesources.com. Give out your phone number one more time.
800-627-3809.
Yeah, it's too bad the Republicans and Democrats, the true Republicans, can't debate like we do. I don't want to kill you, Bob. I want to thank you for coming on.
Yes, well, I want to thank you for having me on. So
all
thank
right.
You.
Okay, and everybody else, we'll see you back here next time. And our thanks to our guest, Bob Griswold. Check out his store. It's awesome.